Sri Radha Krishna Govakyan, Damodara Radha Krishna Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Maya Pranavi Dham ki jai, Ganga Maya ki jai, Yamuna Maya ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Go Premanandi. All glorious some of the devotees, all glorious some of the devotees, all glorious some of the devotees. All glorious to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 49. Atta nityam anityam va. Neha so chanti tadvita. Nanyata sakyate kartum. Subhava shuchatam mihi. Atta nityam anityam va. Neha so chanti tadvita. Nanyatha sakyate kartum. Subhava suchitam iti. Atta nityam anityam va. Neya suchanti tadvidhu vidha. Nanyatha sakyate kartum. Sabhava suchitam iti. Atta nityam anityam Matijis. Atta, therefore, nityam, the eternal spirit soul, anityam, the temporary material body, va, or, na, not, iha, in this world, sochanti, they lament for, tatvidha, those who are advanced in knowledge, of the body and soul. Na, not. Anyata, otherwise. Suchate is able. Kartum to do. Subhava, the nature. Sochitam of those prone to lamentation. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Sankhya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. Nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as sudras. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore said to Maharaj Parikshit, Shotavya dinirajendrananam santim sahasapachtam atma tadvam grihesu grihamedinam. Those who are material engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life, he will remain steady in his vows. Om Gyanatam Anandasya Giranjana Salakya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Kutava Chalang Pangum Langkaite Grim Nakripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapati Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavane Vyavaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here we're getting information of how, when one has knowledge of the soul, then one is free of so much lamentation. In the material world, people are hankering and lamenting. This is what goes on mostly. People are hankering for some material situation, some material opulence, wealth. They're lamenting when they lose it. So we're also hankering. Yeah. We're hankering for devotional service or pure devotional service. And we lament that we aren't up to the standard for receiving the mercy of Krishna to engage in pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada once said that lamentation means purification. So there's also a positive aspect of lamentation. So we should hanker for this pure devotional service. This is actually the natural position of the soul. It's unnatural to not be a pure devotee of Krishna. And this material world, this is where people come that don't want to serve Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, and throughout the scriptures, it said that this material world, it's like a prison. It's like a prison for those who don't want to serve Krishna. If someone doesn't want to be a good citizen in this country and they're committing all kinds of crimes, then there's a place for them. It's a prison. So this is material world is for those people who don't want to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada gave an interesting analogy of family life. You all have heard this example of, you know, the weeds, seaweeds, they come to the shore of the ocean, the waves push them up, and the waves come and they separate them. And so that's, you know, family members, this is how they come together for a short time, then another wave comes and they're separated. So he gave an interesting example of also the prison, that people commit some crime, they go to jail, and within the prison, they establish some relationships. You know, sometimes friendly relationships, or there's a mentor and there's a student relationship. There's different types of relationships, even sometimes conjugal relationships in the prison. And then after they do their time, then they separate and they go different ways. So family life, he said, is like this. You know, the husband is thinking, oh, I have such an affectionate wife and my beautiful, cute children. But actually, they're all prisoners. The husband, the wife, the children, they're all prisoners. And they're doing their time together. And then, you know, after some time, then they separate. The children grow up, or sometimes there's divorce. They go different ways. But they're all prisoners, and everybody is just doing their time together in the prison. So the goal, of course, is to leave the prison. Just like in America here, there's some prisoners, they go to jail, and if they're good prisoners, then they get out early. It's called getting out on good time. They get out early. So we had our karma, and we were destined to get so much reaction for our sinful activities. But now, somehow, by the mercy of Krishna, now we're chanting Hare Krishna. It's described that one cannot commit so much sin that the holy name of Krishna cannot free one from. So this chanting of Hare Krishna, it frees us from so much reaction. Yeah. This process of devotional service. So we're getting purified. So, and if we take this very seriously, we can get out on good time. We can get out early. Go back to the spiritual world. But seriousness is very important. Sincerity and seriousness. We find this a lot in Prabhupada's books, these two words. So I looked them up, see what the dictionary said about these words. Serious means thoughtful. We should be very thoughtful. You know, we have so many nice books. We should read them scrutinizingly with great attention. Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that if one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. But to be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And if one is able to hear in this way with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page. So our whole process actually is all about attention. We have to do everything very attentively. Just like this chanting that we're doing. Kala Dosha Dhe Rajan. This age of Kali is filled with so many faults. But the one good quality of this age is that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, we can become completely purified and become qualified to go back to the spiritual world. So we have these 10 offenses, and there's one offense that I think we're all familiar with, inattentive japa. Any of you ever had that experience? Inattentive chanting. It's a major problem. Why? Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the mind is a non-devotee. The mind is a non-devotee. So the mind doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to hear it. So that's why it's hard to hear. Yeah. So I learned something nice from Srila or Bhaktitirtha Swami. He had a very nice way of training his mind to meditate on the mantra. If he was chanting and he found that he was inattentive, he would stop chanting. He would back up one or two beads and then go forward. It's a very, very practical way to train the mind to stay focused on the mantra. I've been doing this for many years now. It's very, very good. Highly recommended. It's a very nice way to train the mind to think of Krishna. So we kind of have to preach to the mind. It's kind of like a different, like another entity, you know, because Krishna says that mind could be our friend, or it could be an entity, or it could be an enemy. So it seems like it's almost like another entity. But no, it's just another, just like there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind. Mind is another energy. So we have to preach to it. I know you don't want to hear. But we're on a new program now. If you're not attentive, if you don't hear, then we're going to chant more. Now, I know you don't want to chant. But if you don't hear attentively, we're going to chant more. All right? All right. Yeah. So it's a very nice way to chant attentively. We got to train the mind. It's a non-devotee. It's in the bhakta program now. We're trying to train our mind to be a devotee. And Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, Durjayanam aham mana. He says, of difficult things to conquer, I am the mind. Not even conquering another country or another army. That's nothing compared to trying to conquer the mind. So we got to take this very seriously. And sincerely, that means genuine. We have to have a genuine desire to serve Krishna, to be attentive. When we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, when we're chanting the holy name, when we're engaging in devotional service, whatever service it is that we're doing, we have to do it very attentively. To the detail. Each detail has to be done very attentively. And Krishna will be pleased. Yeah. Because the goal is we want to engage in pure devotional service. Not easy. One devotee asked Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, How can I attain love for Krishna? He said one word. Beg. Beg. We have to beg for it. Krishna bhakti sadavitavati kriyatam yadi kutopilam tetraloyam apimun janmakoti sukhaterna labhite. That Krishna bhakti cannot be attained by performing many pious activities for many millions of lifetimes. But it can be attained only by paying one price. That is one's intense desire to attain it. Salolium, greed, transcendental greed, to attain this love for Krishna. And it's there, actually. It's in the heart. It's in a dormant state. So we're trying to bring it out. Just like within wood, there's fire. It just has to be ignited. So everything that we're doing, we're chanting, we're hearing, we're serving, all this is meant to ignite this devotion for Krishna. And this will bring about the satisfaction that the soul is searching for. We all want satisfaction. So this is the satisfaction of the soul in pure devotional service. So here, it's mentioned that when we have this self-realization, result of foreknowledge, then we become free of so much anxiety. As long as one does not have an understanding of self-realization, one is subjected to many, many miseries which arise due to ignorance. So many people are suffering, therefore it's called, Krishna says, Dukhaliyam Asasutam. It's a place of suffering. Why are people suffering so much? Because of ignorance. They don't know who they are. They're trying in so many ways to be happy. This is the nature of the soul, to be happy. But they're all going in the wrong direction. Srimad Bhagavatam gives an example of a deer in the forest who's dying of thirst, and he's trying to find water. But because of his ignorance, he doesn't know that nearby there's some water, but it's covered by grass. So it goes the wrong direction and dies. So people don't know that very close to them is the source of their happiness, the super soul. They don't know. They don't know that their spirit soul, that this body is just a dress. What organization in the world is going around telling people, you're not your body? Anyone? No one. We're the only ones that are going around telling people, you're spiritual, you're not your body. I was speaking to one student in Los Angeles at the restaurant about this, about how we're different from the body. And he said, aren't we just a little bit the material body? Just a little bit? I said, no, sorry. 100% we're spirit. The body is dead. It appears to be alive because I, the soul, am within it. But as soon as I leave this body, then you see the real nature of the body. It's dead. Nehayat karma dharma ya naviragaya kalpate nitirtapada seva jivanapi matosita. Nehayat karma dharma ya. If one's dharma does not bring one nehayat karma. If one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to devotional service, Nehayat karma dharma ya naviga. If one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to devotional service, one is considered to be dead, although breathing. Powerful statement, Srimad Bhagavatam. If one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to pure devotional service, one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So what we have throughout the world, we have the land of the living dead. Practically everybody is dead. Because what are people mostly attached to now in this world? sense gratification. They're trying to satisfy their senses. But they're not their senses. They're not their body, they're not their senses, they're not their mind. They're the soul within. So somehow, by Krishna's mercy, we have received this very valuable knowledge. So we're extremely fortunate. So our main mission in this movement is to help others also become fortunate. Srila Prabhupada therefore said our main business is book distribution in this movement. Because people, they're ignorant, they're suffering. Yeah. So a devotee, when he sees others suffering, it gives pain. So he tries to relieve that suffering. So this is the best way to relieve the suffering that people are experiencing. And the main disease, anybody know what the main disease is throughout the world now? No. Well, that's another. We're talking about material diseases. Stress. One devotee was distributing books in an airport, Mother Tulsi. And she approached one man and he said, "So what kind of work do you do?" He says, "I own a pharmaceutical business." She said, "What medicine is being sold the most now?" He said, "Maalox." Maalox. People are so much stress, there's so much anxiety, they're getting ulcers. And he said, "By far, it's Maalox." So he said, "No, I'm not interested in the book." She said, "You better get this book. This is all about becoming free of stress. If you don't take this book, you might find yourself on Maalox." He said, all right, I'll take one." Took a book. So stress, and from stress, so many other diseases come. So, sarva sukhino bhavantu, another of our mission is we want to see everybody happy. That's a big mission. Big challenge. Sometimes people, they ask me when I'm distributing books, "So what are you doing? Why are you out here doing this?" And I tell them, "Because we want to see everyone become happy." And they say, "Oh, that's a big challenge. Good luck." Because people are suffering so much. Why? Because of this disease, this spiritual disease, their envy of Krishna. People are envious of Krishna. So we have to give them this knowledge so they could understand how important it is to get purified. There's so much envy of Krishna. Atheism is growing like anything. Daily, it's like anything. It's growing like anything. And why is it growing? Because their understanding of God is so limited and unclear and even wrong. Just like in Christianity, they say that if you're sinful, you go to hell and you burn forever. What kind of a God would do that? Just like if you have a son, and your son does something wrong, and you beat him for the next 40 years. I mean, such a person, he would be considered, it would be considered the greatest crime to do something like that, isn't it? So here we have this completely ridiculous conception of God, that you do something wrong and you just suffer for the rest of eternity. I mean, any intelligent person will be like, "Wait a second, that can't be right. Where's the compassion? God is supposed to be benevolent. Where's the compassion there?" Or also in one scripture they say that the earth is only 6,000 years years old, I think, right, the Bible. That's ridiculous. So people, anybody that has the intelligence, will just think, what is this? Yeah. So we have to give them the real understanding of God. He's everyone's well-wisher. Prabhupada used to sign his letters, you're ever well-wisher. So Krishna is that also, to an unlimited degree. I was distributing books one time in Australia, door to door, and I knocked on one door, and a man answered the door, and he saw me with the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. I said, oh, you worship Satan. Okay, well, this book is about God. You should know your enemy. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, all right, I'll take one. So he gave a nice donation, took the Bhagavad Gita. Hopefully he finds out that actually Krishna is his best friend. And that's the reality. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokam ahesra. That he's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. He's the friend. He's the best friend of all. He's such a good friend that he's with us wherever we go. Even the president of the Atheistic Society here in Chicago, Krishna's there with him, his best friend. He'll never leave him. Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he said, just like the sun is always with us. It's like we're experiencing the rays of the sun right now. Right? It's here and it's not here. It's far away. The sun is also very far away. It's here in this room right now. We're feeling it. I know I'm sweating, right? Getting hit by the rays. So there's a difference. There's the sun globe, the sun god, and there's the sun rays. So Krishna's here through his different energies. Yeah? And he's here as a super soul. Yeah. So he wants us to get purified. It's like this Gopakumar, he was going around, he was trying to find happiness in so many different ways. And then when he finally met Krishna, then he was completely satisfied. And Prabhupada gives the example of a child. A child is crying, baby, 1 year old, so baby is crying, and so many people in the room are trying to appease her. But until the child goes into the lap of the mother, there's not going to be satisfaction. So until we're placed into devotional service, until we achieve pure devotional service, we're not going to be satisfied. And this will come by the mercy of Krishna. Nayam atma pravichayena labdo namidiyana bahuna shutena. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find a lot of places where Prabhupada says the causeless mercy of Krishna. Right? But we all know sarva karana karanam, Krishna is the cause of all causes. So why is this there so much? I looked it up in the folio. 2,600 times you'll find this word causeless. So I'm thinking, why is this there so much? So I was asking many senior devotees. I didn't know. So I was asking many senior devotees, why is this there so much in Prabhupada's books? And I wasn't satisfied until I met Dravida Prabhu and I asked him. Dravida Prabhu, he is the editor of Prabhupada's books, one of the main editors, him and Jayavaita Swami. And he immediately answered with this verse, Nayam atma pravachayena labdo namediya nabahuna shutena. That Krishna cannot be attained by vast scholarship, by giving wonderful discourses on the scriptures, nor even by much hearing. But he can be attained only by those persons whom Krishna chooses. See, Krishna, he's Svarat. He's independent. He's completely independent. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. Right? We can't, it's kind of hard to understand. Huh? But he is completely independent. But in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whom he shows his mercy to, whom he chooses. Anybody know? Any guesses? Yeah, that's a good one, but specifically? Yeah, that's also, but there's one specific. Prabhupada said, Tesam sarak yuktanam, bhajitam priti purvakam, tadami buddhi yogam nam, yeno upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is what he's looking for. Constant. Of course, if we're engaged in devotional service and we're distributing knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, that's very pleasing. There's no one more dear to him, actually, he says, than that person. But sometimes devotees will be distributing books and they're not doing it for Krishna. They're doing it for their false prestige. So many book distributors have come and gone because of that. You know, there was some ulterior motive. So it's not just distributing books, but we have to be doing it for Krishna. And therefore, there's one verse. I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said, there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that is the summary for the entire Bhagavad Gita. Yat kroshi, yadashnasi, yad jahosi didasi, yat tapasyasi konti, tat krusha banarpana. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you perform, should be done as an offering to me. So this is the key. Everything we do has to be done as an offering to Krishna. Yeah. We're doing deity worship, we're doing management, we're cooking, we're distributing books. That's what Krishna wants. It has to be an offering to Krishna. And what type of an offering? An offering with love. That's what he's looking for. Therefore, patram, pushtram, palambhoyam. Even you just offer water or a leaf, a flower with devotion, that catches Krishna's attention. Krishna doesn't need anything, but he really likes love. He loves love. And we also, everybody wants love. Everyone wants love more than anything. Right? So they're trying to find it in this world, but they're frustrated. Because in this world, what they think is love is lust. So therefore they're frustrated. So real love, atmendriya priti vantadari palikam, krishnendriya priti ichadari premanam. That love means to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. That's love. We all want love? There it is. There is the definition of love. To engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. And what is lust? To satisfy our senses. That's lust. And what is everybody doing? They're all trying to satisfy their senses, and therefore they're frustrated. So we have to let them know, what is love? Service to Krishna. Engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses. Okay. On that note, is there any question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. I have a question about, you said about like how when you're satisfying your sense.
It's on? It's on?
Yeah, all right, it's set to put it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right, so, like, when you're out on book distribution, especially at, like, a music festival, you can really see that, like, the people are, like, the living dead, and they're, like, intoxicated, and they, like, look like zombies, like, moving around. So then it's, like, really easy to see, and you really have to, like, chant, like, crazy when you're in that situation. But when you're in the temple, it's harder to see the situation that's at hand with the state of the world. So I was wondering if it's like important to meditate on that, even while you're in the temple, to meditate on the state of the world, or just to like forget that, or to just focus on Krishna.
Well, the devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. He sees others suffering, he gives pain. So that's another benefit of going out on book distribution. You see that people are suffering and you want to help. At the temple, you don't see it so much. You know? So, but we should pray for this compassion for the conditioned souls. Compassion is not an easy quality to attain because we're all born into this world. Icha dvesa samudvena. We're all born in this world with desire and hate, envy. So envy is just the opposite of compassion. So we should pray to Krishna for freedom from this envy and for compassion for the conditioned souls. We're all here because of the compassion of Krishna. You know, Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities, but in the personified prayers, they say there's one quality that stands out amongst all the others, and that's his compassion. We're here because he wants to see us become happy again, become pure again. And he also sends his compassionate, pure devotees to help us along as well. So we're very fortunate. So we should take advantage of this and get purified. And as we're getting purified, try to help as many others as possible also become purified from their material existence. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone is just now coming. Okay, why does it please Krishna when we chant his names? Well, just like if you're, let's say you're here in the ashram and you're walking in the hallway and you hear someone glorifying you, really glorifying you, so you perk up your ears. Oh, isn't that nice? Just like nectar. Yeah. Now that's our false ego, right? But Krishna also has an ego. He doesn't have a false ego, though. He has a real ego. So he likes to hear his glories. And therefore, devotees, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll hear wonderful prayers. Prahlad Maharaj, we're hearing now, we're in this seventh canto. You're going to hear beautiful prayers by Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisingadeva. And Nrisingadeva is so pleased with him that he takes his lotus palm, his paw, he puts it on his head. So, yeah, Krishna likes to hear his glories. He deserves to be glorified. He's the absolute truth. He's the greatest. You know, there used to be one boxer, remember that? I am the greatest. Yeah, Muhammad Ali. One reporter went to him after he had his stroke. And he said, Muhammad Ali, do you still think you're the greatest? He said, yes. I think I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest fool. Because I didn't know where my strength was coming from. He actually became a very favorable. Bhakti Tirtha had some relationship with him. So, yes, you want to say something on this? Oh, the microphone.
Hare Krishna. In relation to this idea of compassion and seeing everybody as suffering and wanting to help them, that doesn't end at the four walls of the temple. because we have compassion for each other, also will help other people come into Krishna consciousness. Because once they get a book, they may want to come to the temple. And if they don't see compassionate relationships and loving relationships between the devotees, they'll go out of the temple.
Yeah, yes, yes. It's very good.
So when we're looking for the opportunity to see people who need help, we can look just to the right and to the left and in the mirror, and we'll see people that need help.
Yeah.
And we can help them also, and then also help ourselves.
Yes, very good. And sometimes people come to the temple. And although we're a very personal movement, sometimes we can be a little impersonal. I remember in Miami one time, we had a 8-story hotel on Miami Beach. Remember that one? It was great. So there was one Indian man in the elevator. And I said, "Oh, how you doing? Where are you from?" And we had a little chat. And he said, "You know, I've been here 10 times. This is the first time anybody spoke to me." So I was thinking, it's not good, you know. You see someone come, we should be very personal. "Oh, welcome. You know, what's your name? Where are you from? You know, can I offer something for you? We have nice books." And when people come, we have to be very personal. And like Lakshmi Moni said, we should have nice relationships with one another. I remember there was one instance where there was one bhakta who was visiting the temple for a long time in Los Angeles, like a couple years, few years. And one devotee said, "You've been coming around for a while, you're chanting and everything. Are you thinking about getting initiated?" He said, "No, not really, because you all treat me so nice when I come here, but I see you're all initiated devotees, you treat each other so nastily, you know. I like it, you guys treat me nice like this. If I get initiated, you might treat me like you treat each other, you know." It's pretty far out. Interesting observation. So we should deal with each other very nicely. Then people see that and
I think inspired. Sometimes we think that as soon as someone takes the philosophy or takes a book, then our job is finished. You know what I mean? It's if they come to the temple and then our job is finished. Now they're here. It's up to them. But that was never the way Prabhupada trained us, that we have a continuous obligation to ourselves and to each other. That's the first purpose of ISKCON.
Yeah, another nice thing about Vaisheshika Prabhu, he told me how he was in Hawaii distributing books. And he approached one couple, and they were a Christian couple, and he showed the book to them, and they said, "Well, you know, you're nice and everything, and you've shown it's interesting, but we're Christians, so we're not interested." And he said, "Oh, okay. No problem. But, you know, I want to thank you for stopping and giving me your valuable time, and I hope you have a wonderful day." And, you know, Vaisheshika, he's such a gentleman. So they came back a half hour later, and they said, "You know, we changed our mind. I think we'll take a book. You're such a gentleman that we want to give you a donation and take one of your books." Yeah. So that's how we should be, with ourselves and with others. Yeah. We should, by our qualities, attract others. I mean, this is what Prabhupada did, of course. Of course, he's a pure devotee. But we're here to also try to become pure. We should associate with those persons, those devotees who are serious and compassionate, and this rubs off onto us. Now, in a couple of days, we can have a lot of very senior devotees coming here. You know, how to increase our preaching here in the West. So it's a wonderful opportunity to serve them. And by serving the devotees, then Krishna is pleased and he helps us along in our devotional service. So any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Oh.
Can I ask two questions, Prabhu, or I should stick to one, maybe, because we don't have time? Can I ask two questions?
Two questions?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little... We have another person here. All right, take one. Pick your best one.
Okay. When you said that we should beg for love for Krishna, I was thinking that from whom we should beg this love, because usually we are taught that we cannot recognize the person who has love for Krishna.
Usually what?
Usually we are taught that we cannot recognize the person who has love.
We can't recognize the person who has love.
Yeah. So in that way, how are we gonna beg love when we don't know who has love?
Well, you can beg Krishna. You can beg Krishna. That's okay. You can beg Prabhupada. Prabhupada, please. You can even if someone does not have love for Krishna, you could still beg. Still, you can beg for mercy. Yeah. Sometimes I'm on book distribution and I'll meet people that persons of other religions, and they walk away and they say, "I'll pray for you." I said, "Thanks a lot. I need all the help I can get." Yeah, so you can pray to any devotee, or anybody that's practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not that you could only pray to pure devotees. Yeah. We don't know. There might be so many pure devotees here. So you can pray to all of them, then you don't miss. Mother, give her the microphone.
Bhante Brahmana learned from so many different living entities, yeah, which increased his devotion. So yeah, we can learn from... we can beg Krishna to give us the insight to see his devotional service in so many different ways and places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. You were mentioning Krishna's mercy is causeless. So I was wondering, even persons who have attained his favor, still they generally will feel as though they have not. How is that?
That's called humility. You see, that's another thing. That's another very attractive feature of pure devotional service. Anybody that's engaged in pure devotional service, they don't even think they're a devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj, one of the greatest Vaishnavas that ever stepped on this planet, thought himself lower than a worm of stool. Anybody that chants his name loses all pious credit. Prabhupada was speaking about the different classes of devotees, or different classes of people, the Varnashram, first class, second class, third class, fourth class. And there's one person in the audience. He was in a challenging way. So which class are you in? Prabhupada said, "I'm fifth class, because I'm servant of all." So that's another amazing quality of a pure devotee, is they don't think they're a devotee. And we should not think that we're devotees. We're trying to become devotees. One time, Hridayananda Maharaj wrote a nice poem to Prabhupada, in where he mentioned that he's a devotee of Krishna. And Prabhupada wrote back, "It's a very nice poem, but a devotee of Krishna never thinks he's a devotee." Humility. Inconceivable humility. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, he wasn't just saying that. It wasn't just lip service. He felt himself completely insignificant. Just the lowest. Inconceivable. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. So the Boga will be coming in shortly. Please be on hand. Krishna's Boga. Krishna's